How important is your blood to you? Well, you'd say it's pretty important. Most people do. Back in my other life, when I was still working for a living, one of the things that I did in my last stint as working was doing financial planning, and one of the things a financial planner that has all those letters after his name supposed to know how to do is estate planning. And I had a fellow come into my office one day, and he wanted to get an estate plan done. Well, there's a whole lot of papers that needs to be filled out to do an estate plan for someone, so I got everything ready. And one of the things that you have to do is start talking first of all about who you are, and then you get down to the major part to do an estate plan, well, what's your assets? He didn't have any. I said, well, exactly why do you want an estate plan? He said, well, I'm a member, have been a member of the Delta Force. Well, that's one of those, like the SEALs and Rangers and so forth in the armed services. They're pretty important men and women. And he said, I'm writing a book about my life as a member of the Delta Force, and I need to be insured so that if anything happens to me, that my mother will be taken care of. And I said, well, that's not an asset that you have. That's something that you're going to. Well, I know, but I'm going to be paid a lot of money from the book company for it. And I said, well, can the book company assure you that you're going to have that money so I'll have something? Because I can't insure you if the insurance company doesn't know a little bit about your assets. And he went on talking about how he could get that and so forth. And I said, well, now how much insurance are we talking about? And it was, I forget whether it was $1 or $2 million. It's been so long ago that he wanted to be insured for. And I said, that's a lot of money to be insured for, and I need to have some material. And I said, I'll need to also to write a policy on that, on you for that. I'll need to get a urine specimen and send the people out to do all of that, and then along with that get a blood specimen. And he stopped me. He said, I can't give you blood. I said, why? He said, my blood is very important. My blood is from a royal line of people. And he began to tell me how that he was a member of such and such a tribe of so on and so forth, and how important his blood was. And I said, well, if you can't give blood, I can't insure you. So that was sort of the end of his estate plan. His blood was pretty important to him. And you know, I don't know if you've ever thought about your blood much or not. Some people are very squeamish about blood. They can't stand to see a blood from an animal, and especially blood from a people person, or even in particular yourself. We have some friends, of course, the gentleman's dead now, that couple, but they had a son that the very thought of blood or even giving a shot, his knees would buckle and down he would go. He'd faint. He couldn't stand the thoughts of taking a shot. And if you stop and start thinking about your blood, it shouldn't make you feel that way, but it should make you feel thankful. You know, the more I read and study, and I'm not a biologist. I didn't study biology. I taught it one summer in school when I was a school teacher, but I fortunately had a student teacher that knew biology, and I was a physicist. I knew physics. And just enough about biology and chemistry to make me dangerous as a teacher. But anyway, it was an interesting subject. And the blood especially is interesting because did you know your blood is sort of like a transportation system in your body? And I don't know how they figured this out, and I haven't done it, so I'm just having to tell you what other people have told me in reading about it. But our blood system that goes all over our body, there's little capillaries and so forth all through our body. If you cut yourself, you know you're going to bleed. And it's because those little capillaries are in your finger there. I cut myself the other day with a piece of cardboard, and it hurt and bled too. But I'm told that if we sort of took all of our little capillaries and spread them out somewhere, that it would go for 60,000 miles. Now, that just blows my mind. It's hard for me to believe that there's 60,000 miles of little tiny blood vessels that go through my body. And if you stop and think about it, that's enough blood vessels to go a little more than twice around the earth. And that's the way our blood traverses through us. And why are there so many of them? Well, every little piece of skin that you've got on you has to have blood going through it. Every muscle that you've got on you, even talking, everything. Do you know that every tissue in your body has to have oxygen to keep going? How's it get there? Well, you breathe a deep breath. When you breathe that deep breath, oxygenated air goes down into your lungs. The left side of your lungs pushes that blood out. It first of all, has your lungs have millions of air sacs in it. And that oxygenated air goes into those little sacs in your lungs, and your blood, the red blood cells, separates that out and gets the oxygen, and here it goes through your bloodstream. And every tissue of body that you have, that blood, as it passes through that little bit of tissue, if that tissue says, hey, I need some oxygen, then that blood cell will deliver some oxygen to it to keep it alive and going. And if it gets around, you know, somewhere to your other parts of your body, every part of your body, every muscle that's in your body, it calls for some oxygen and it delivers it to it. And all other kinds of nutrients that your body uses, it picks it up, picks the oxygen up out of that bloodstream and uses it to keep itself alive and going. And those red blood cells live for about 120 days. Then others take over. But down in your marrow of your bone, the red marrow part of your bone, it's every second generating thousands, millions, in fact, of red blood cells. And they get stored in the spleen. And whenever blood cells are needed, the spleen sends them out into the bloodstream to be used to go around your body delivering all kinds of nutrients and everything that's needed to keep your blood going, keep your body going, and all of the elements, even the hormones of your body, go through the blood cells. They deliver all of that to different parts of the body as it's needed. And it affects your mood. It affects just a whole lot of things in your body, and it even affects what kind of sex you are. And I don't, you know, you may be a man wants to change himself into a woman. He may do some things to change himself into a woman, but those blood cells keep delivering male hormones. It doesn't matter. You may try to be a man may try to be a woman, and a woman try to be a man, but folks, you're just wired from birth as to what you are. Whenever you become that embryo in your mother's body, it's already determined that you're going to be one or the t'other. Doesn't matter. And you can't change it no matter how you may try to change it, but it won't change. It's just the way God wired our bodies. And it's just sort of interesting to me how the body does so many of these good things for us. And then it also does things for us to keep us going in avenues of removing waste products from our body. You know, it's not just a matter of you eat something, it goes down into your body, and And somewhere along the line, a lot of it gets flushed out in the commode, as you know. But there's other things that happens that, with your blood, that pushes it out in those different places from which waste products come. And it goes, carbon dioxide, for example, is something that our body takes in, that oxygen, and gets used in these different organs and places of our body tissue. And then it takes that oxygen and uses it, and when it gets finished with it, it becomes carbon dioxide. Well, we don't need that. You know what the blood does? It picks that up, that carbon dioxide, as it goes through. I guess it's sort of like putting our trash out, mine on Thursday mornings, so that the garbage man comes by and picks it up, and so your bloodstream goes through your body, and whenever it has a can full of carbon dioxide sitting there, it picks it up. You know where it takes it? Back to the lungs. And then your lungs, whenever you exhale, that goes that carbon dioxide. And you know where it gets used? Trees use that and create some more oxygen that comes back to us, and we use it again to keep the cycle of life going. So blood takes waste products out of our body so that our body that doesn't need those things can keep living. It also removes sugar. It removes extra water and things from our body. It removes extra salt from our body and all those things. It's just amazing to me what all our blood does. And then something else, I mentioned I cut my finger the other day with a piece of cardboard. And you know what happens when you cut yourself a little bit? There's some other cells in our bloodstream called white blood cells. I don't know how you get white and red, but anyway, they're white blood cells that rush to that place, and when that army of white corpuscles run up there to that cut place, it starts a coagulation process and starts to heal that. And anywhere inside your body it tries. But you know, too, if you get a cut too big, what happens? You got to take off to the doctor, and they get a needle and thread and sew that place together so your blood can coagulate and stop that from bleeding. And if you leave a place like that open, a lot of times if it's too big, you'll bleed to death. And then another thing our blood does, it's interesting, and these are just some of them. There's a bunch of them that your blood does. Another thing it does is your blood, the part of your blood, it gets close to the outside of your skin. Right under your skin where that blood is flowing through those tiny blood veins. But, you know, it's flowing through those tiny areas there. And it does that to cool your body. And have you ever noticed that if you get out running and you start sweating and you feel your heart's really beating fast, well, why is it beating fast? Because it's got to get more blood up there to cool the inside of your body. That blood comes from the outside of your body back to the inside of your body to cool the rest of your body to keep it going. Amazing how it does all of that. In fact, scientists today, some have referred to our blood as the river of life. And I think that's a pretty good term that they use to do that. But you know, there's some things about that blood that's interesting to me in that it compares a lot with the blood of Christ. So I went through all that biology lesson to get to this, that there are some comparisons of Christ's blood and the blood that flows through our body. And it's interesting to me what God said to the Israelites long years ago when he was giving out the law of Moses. Let me read you a passage of scripture. He'd been talking to them about offering sacrifices. God said to the Israelites, for the life of the flesh, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. That is, it takes away your sins. Therefore I said to the sons of Israel, no person among you may eat blood. Nor may any stranger who resides among you eat blood. So when anyone from the sons of Israel or from the strangers who reside among them, while hunting, catches an animal or a bird which may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dirt. For as for the life of all flesh, its blood is identified with life. Therefore I said to the sons of Israel, you are not to eat the blood of any flesh, nor the life, for the life of all flesh is in its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. Now, if you look at that, you remember back in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas were up in Antioch, and some of the Israelites down in the area near Jerusalem had come to Antioch, and they were telling people that, you know, if you're going to be a Christian, you've got to also be a follower of the law of Moses, and all the men have to be male parts. All of them have to be circumcised in order to be a Christian. Well, it caused quite a dissension in the church at Antioch, so they decided to send Paul and Barnabas down to Jerusalem to speak with the other apostles to get a clarification on this. And so they went down there and talked, and if you keep reading in chapter 15 of the book of Acts, you find that James, one of the apostles, stood up and basically said to the company there in Antioch, look, we ought not to put a burden on the Gentiles up in Antioch that they've got to keep the law of Moses, because even our forefathers could keep that law. But all we need to do is write a letter back to them and tell them that they need to abstain from things that are offered to idols, from things strangled, and refrain from blood. That's the only thing that has come over from the law of Moses to the Christian age that we are to observe, not to eat blood. And I don't know if you've been in a foreign country before, but some places like in Egypt and other places where we've been, they have things called blood pudding. Well, it's not something that I really think I want to eat. I didn't try it. Generally, wherever I go, I try whatever kind of food they eat, but that was one thing I passed on. And it wasn't just because I didn't want to try it. It was because, I don't think I'm supposed to eat that. Now, some people get all unwired, or however you want to call it, about eating a rare steak or medium rare. I don't want to. Just look at that blood. That's not blood coming out of a steak. You think it is, and it looks like, it looks red. I'll grant you that. But, you know, we're all wet. 75% of our body. What you see standing up here is mostly a glass of water, because this whole body is 75% of it. Over three-fourths of this body is just water. And that's why we, you know, when we die, we sort of, the water sort of get vaporizes out of us, evaporates, and we all get all wrinkled up and so forth, because the water goes out of us. And we're left with just a little pot of dirt. But anyway, that red stuff is myoglobin, which is muscle tissue. And muscle tissue has water in it. And myoglobin is red. And that water that comes out of the muscle tissue of a steak is that myoglobin, which is red. And it looks like blood, but it's not blood. It's that red tissue that's in the meat that's causing that to happen. And so if you're all worried about eating blood, just remember, if you get it well done, that myoglobin in there just turns dark as it gets hotter and hotter, and eventually it turns dark and looks like the rest of the meat that's there, and so you're eating cooked blood, overcooked blood, really. So if you've been worried about it, go ahead, if you like rare steak, go ahead and eat rare, because you're not eating blood if the animal has been properly dressed when it was killed and fixed for us to eat. I remember my grandfather used to kill hogs all the time. He had a place fixed for killing hogs, and he did it for all the neighbors around, and he'd go to kill that hog. He had to be sure that he stuck the hog just right so that the heart would keep beating and beat all the blood. And if you grew up in the country like I did and watched your mom or grandmother one go out and get a little chicken pullet or whatever, up and chop the head off of it and watch it flopping around. It was beating that blood out to get rid of that blood so that the blood wasn't in the body anymore. But anyway, that's enough of that said. Now, let's think a little bit how this fits in with Christ and his blood. You know, the Israelites were told that the blood was for their atonement, to make them right with God, for the forgiveness of their sins. Now, their sins were forgiven, but it was sort of like I talk about on a credit card. And the price of the credit card was not paid until Christ came, and he paid all the debts of all the people in the past and all the debts for all the people in the future. He paid the debt on the cross. And so his blood, just like our blood in our body, his blood becomes an agent for the spiritual body of Christ, his church, of which we are individual agents. So his blood acts as an agent to keep us going as we live in this life. And you know, have you thought about it? That since this time yesterday, if you're sort of average in your heartbeat, do you know your heart has gone thumpity thumpity thump since this time yesterday over 100,000 times? And if you're like me, a good bit over 80 years old, do you know if you calculated how many times my heart has been beating since back in 1938 when I came around? If you write down a 39, just write the number 39 down, and add 8 more zeros after it, that's how many times my heart's been beating since I was born, not counting the times that it happened before I was born. Can you imagine the hatred that a mother must have in her heart for a child? That'll stop the heartbeat of someone like me, for example, that little heart could have kept beating for millions of times. Christ gave his blood from his heart. You remember when that soldier pierced his heart, out of his side flowed blood, which became the agent that supplies blood to replenish our spiritual bodies, just like our blood replenishes all the nutrients for our physical body. Notice what Jesus said in Luke chapter 22. He said, likewise also the cup, which we've just taken after the supper, he said this, that this cup is the New Testament, and that's what we got read to us just a little bit ago. This cup is the New Testament, or the New Covenant, some translations puts it, in my blood, which is shed for you. And then also David tells us in Psalms what a covenant is. He says, speaking of God, he hath remembered his covenant, testament, forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. So the New Covenant is the teaching and instructions by which we can live that Christ has given us, the New Testament, if you please. Jesus said in John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Paul sort of clarified this a little bit in 1 Thessalonians when he said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but that of truth, the word of God, purchased with his blood, which effectually, in other words, it does everything it's supposed to do, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So whenever you are a believer in God, a follower of him, his son, then his blood does all the things in your body spiritually that it needs to do. So the blood of Christ, purchased through the new covenant which is his word for us today. Timothy said that all scripture, his word, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So just as the blood is the agent that supplies all the nutrients of our body, Christ's blood supplies all the needs that we have for life in Christ through his blood. But then I mentioned that life in our blood also removes all of those bad things that's in your body. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, which is a very long prayer, just before he's crucified. Jesus says, as he lifts up his eyes to heaven and speaks to the Father, he says, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as has believed in him. Now, Christ has given eternal life to us today. And he said in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And because of that authority, he can remove all things, and that includes all kinds of sins. Colossians 3, 5 through 10, if you read that long section of scripture, Paul is talking about how we're to remove everything. Now, keep in mind that Christ being able to remove these impurities from our body desires a willing mind to change what you're doing. We have to repent of all these sins, and he's willing to remove all sins from our body. And just as physical blood removes all the impurities from our body, so Christ can do that with his blood as well. But then there's one other thing that I want to mention to you just briefly that is important too. That is, I mentioned that our blood actually helps to regulate the temperature of our body. Whenever our body gets hot, it moves more blood through our veins and little blood cells on our hands and so forth, and helps us to continually cool our bodies off when we get hot and our heart beats faster and so forth. Well, our bodies do that in the same way that Christ's blood helps cool our spiritual bodies. How do you cool a spiritual body? Well, listen to some things. It was Christ's love and God's love for man that caused Christ to shed his blood. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5:8 says that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, worthless, that Christ died for us. We didn't get so good that Christ died for us. We were so bad Christ died for us. It was because he loved us and because God loved us. And then 1 John 4, verse 10 beginning, John says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son that he should be the propitiation, gave his body, his life for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, watch it now, we ought to love one another. You remember in John 13, when God again was praying, when Christ was again praying to his Father, he was talking about how that by the love that we have one for another, all men would know that we're his disciples. Because we love one another, our temperatures need to cool down. Have you ever been in a congregation where they had a big fuss or stew? We've been pretty bad in the past about dividing and swarming. You ever watched a honeybee hive? Now, sometimes if they're not properly taken care of, the honey honeybee hive, you'll all of a sudden see a bunch of them cluster on the front of the hive, and then off they'll fly, and they'll try to start a new home somewhere else. That's the way we've been sometimes in the church. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 9, beginning, let love be without dissimulation. That means no false front on it. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That means that, you know, we're supposed to love one another. And loving one another doesn't mean, well, I'll see you next Sunday. Loving one another means that we love one another all the time. And if you hurt, I hurt. I hurt, you hurt. We all hurt together. If something good happens, we all rejoice together. Because, folks, we're family. And family's not supposed to get mad at one another. In Christ's blood, if we understand spiritually what Christ has done for us and why he died on the cross for us, it wasn't because he hated us, even though we're mean and didn't deserve it. There were a bunch of people that whenever he was, just before he was crucified, were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. And every one of those sorry Jews that did that, he died for them to save them. Red, yellow, black, or white, it doesn't matter what. God loves us all. And he died for every one of us. And we ought to love one another. We ought to learn to get along with one another. No matter what the color of our skin may be. We're Christians. We follow Christ. And that's what his blood does for us. Just like our blood takes care of us. Your blood inside of you is important to you, and it takes care of you. This brain up here needs that blood to keep coming to it, to make it function, to tell different parts of our body what to do. It's always working. So life is in the blood. The river of life is the blood, be it in our body or in the church, which is Christ's blood. Christ's blood flows freely through the body to give us all the things that our body needs. And you know, it only happens, as I said a while ago, if you're willing to give your body first to Christ. Pardon my country grammar, but there ain't no blood flowing in you if you're not a Christian. And if you don't live up to what God wants you to do, that blood quits flowing. And if you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel, then it's time you do it. If you know who you are, what you are, and your relationship to God right now, and I just ask you a simple question. If you died tonight, where would you live eternally? A lot of people would say, where would you spend eternity? But I'm one of those people that don't believe you can spend eternity. Eternity is eternity. You can't spend it because it's not spendable. It just keeps on going. Never ends. Something that you spend ends, but eternity doesn't end. Where will you live eternally? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you're not prepared and not ready, the answer is no. But if you are, Oh, how pleasant that is to know that if I pillow my head on my bed tonight and I don't see another day, that I will awake in eternity to live with God, Christ his Son, the Holy Spirit, and all the holy angels, and all those who have lived faithful forever and forever. Oh, how important that is, and you need to get ready now.